Good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
This morning, I'm going to continue on what I spoke on last time I was here, and that is the power of speech. And I think I went over four types of speech we're to avoid in life. Today, after I go through a review, which I think we need to do because some people weren't here, we're going to kind of do a quick review, and then we're going to go through four types of speech that we should desire to have. So most of the scriptures that we'll be looking at will be found in Proverbs. Proverbs is a book. It's been written. It's as a father to a son. And many times it compares a wisdom or a wise person against a foolish person. And it's usually a positive and then a negative, or a negative and then a positive. So, and they're not always together. It's just little bits of wisdom for us to learn from. So most of it will come from Proverbs. But James, we mentioned last week, it's a good start, because James goes through and lets us see the power that's in the tongue. In fact, in James, he uses illustrations. He uses a bridle in a horse's mouth, how that a bridle, a small piece of metal in a horse's mouth, you're able to control. You're able to tame that animal. That animal has more power than a man does. He's stronger. But yet he's under control by that bridle. Our tongue has to be in control. We have to be able to control our tongue. Then he uses a rudder on a ship, which is small. A ship is large, but a rudder is usually just a small piece. But it determines the course of that ship. And so we see that small thing, a tongue is a small part of our body, but yet it has power and it has ability to control and to set the destination of where we're going. Then he uses a fire as an example. A fire can start small, but it can become large and destructive. And we mentioned that a fire or water, either one, if it's in control, it's a good thing. If fire's in control, it keeps your house warm in the winter, it cooks your food for you or whatever. But out of control, it can destroy your house or whatever. So here again, it's talking about control. And it says, all animals can be tamed, but a tongue cannot be tamed. And he says that what we're to avoid is a mouth that has blessing one minute and cursing the next. Or bitter water and sweet water, a fountain or a well will not produce both. And he says that should not be. So controlling the tongue is an important thing. And so in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, we noticed it. We mentioned it. There are seven things that God hates. And I think three of them is about the tongue. A lying tongue, false witness, and someone who sows discord. And as a result, we looked at types of lying, a lying, false speech, a lying tongue. We mentioned about that in Proverbs 12, verse 22, says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. So when we speak should be the truth and not lies. We need to have a be able to, when people speak of us, they should say, you can believe what he says. If we're wishy-washy, we're yay and nay, and we're not stable in our speech, it's very confusing to people. They won't know when to believe us. When we go tell them about the gospel, they won't know if we're sincere or not, or we really believe what we're saying we believe if we're not truthful all the time. So a lying tongue is something to avoid. Flattery. We talked about flattery, telling people what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. When you tell someone, speak someone, and you tell them they did a good job or something, make sure it's sincere. Make sure it's not just something you want to tell them to make them feel good. Distortion. We talked about playing word games, how that we're not to distort our speech. And that would be clear. Use the same definition of words. Don't try to trick people to make them think that we're saying something that we're really not saying. Exaggeration. is another thing we're to avoid. That is adding or embellishing the truth. So we're to speak the pure, honest truth, not embellishment or untruthful or insincere. Then we looked at divisive speech or divisive speech. And we talked about gossip. How that gossip is a secret you tell one person at a time, usually to hurt someone else. Proverbs 11:13 says, "A gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence." If you want to lose a friend, talk behind their back or gossip, say something. And gossip can be true. It might be truth, but it doesn't need to be said sometimes. Sometimes we need to hold things to ourselves. If it doesn't help the other person, or you're out to hurt that person, keep it to yourself. Proverbs 16:28. I'm going to give these to you quickly because they're all together. You may have time to turn to them, but not. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. That's what we're talking about. Fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip starts. So if you want to stop gossip, don't spread it. Don't let it pass on, because a fire, it says, will go out if it's no fuel. And so don't add fuel to the flame. Another type of speech we're to avoid is slander. That's when we openly condemn another person. It may be true, but we may not want to say it. It's in Proverbs 25:18 says, "Telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow." So we must avoid gossip, slander. So those are things that we're to avoid. Then we talked about hasty speech. That's where your mouth engages before your brain does. And sometimes it can be anger. It can be anger. We don't hold back. We say something. We don't know all the facts. We can speak too early. Proverbs 29:20 says, "There is more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking." In other words, think what you're going to say. How's it going to affect the other person? Is this worth saying, or should I just not say it? Everyone, Proverbs 15:23 says, "Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time and in the right way." So we looked at that. Don't be quick in speaking. Get all the facts. Because if we speak too early, we're going to make a mistake. We're going to hurt someone, and it won't be to their best interest. And then the last one was unnecessary speech. In Proverbs 10:19, and this is a New Living Translation again, it says, "Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut." So too much talk leads to sin. If you talk long enough, it's going to get you in trouble. So keep your words few. Make them truthful and make them to the point. Proverbs 13:3 says, "Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything." So be careful. Then, if you would, you look at Matthew chapter 12 in verse 34 through 37. You're going to see that every idle word, it says, that we say, we're going to be held accountable for. God knows what we say. So the more we say, the more accountability we have. So be sure that what you say is worth saying and is pleasing to the Lord. And we're going to look at that in the next lesson. So our speech not only hurts other people, it can offend God. We can offend God. We can hurt our testimony for Him. So we'll be accountable for what we say. So our words are powerful and important. All right, now, and that was a summary. Now let's look into some other phases of the kind of speech that we should desire. First of all, our speech should be one that builds up, doesn't tear down. The other kind of the four that we just talked about, destroy or tear down people. They're not to their benefit or our benefit or the Lord's benefit. But edification means to build up. We're to encourage other people with what we say. And as an example, I've got probably eight here. It says, it compares our words in Proverbs 10, verse 11. It says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The mouth of a righteous man, a well of life. We all know what a well is. A well is refreshment. Water, we need water. But if that water's bitter or if it's poisonous, it's no good. It's not a well of life, it's a well of death. So what we say should be nourishing, should be encouraging, and gives hope. And a well overflows sometimes. We're to be overflowing, not stagnant. And I thought about as a well of life, when there's a flood, if we have a lot of areas of our country get flooded or other countries get flooded, the first thing is they need water. And we send bottled water in because the water's contaminated. The world offers contaminated water. It's not refreshing. It's not healthy. So just as we send this bottle of water in for them to give them life and support life, our words should be the same thing. They should be refreshing and should be life-giving. Then in Proverbs 10, verse 20, it says, the tongue is of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Choice silver. What we say should be precious, not just of little worth. The world gives us a lot of advice, and we hear a lot from the world, but it's most of what we hear is worthless. But when we hear the word of God and somebody speaks about the Lord, it gives us truth and wisdom, then it's like choice silver. It's valuable. The word of God is valuable, so, and we should treat it that way. And that way, when we speak, then it's as choice silver, something somebody would desire, that would seek. Then in Proverbs 10:31 says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. Wisdom, words of wisdom. Words of wisdom, if we're in the Word of God and we're living a life that's pleasing to the Lord and we've experienced the Lord, then when we talk to other people, what comes out of our mouth is helpful to those people. They know he's been through it. He's in the Word of God. I can take what he says for value. It's wisdom. But a person who is not in the Word of God, it's given human wisdom, it's of very little value again. It's not really wisdom. It's foolishness. The world is full of foolishness, whereas the words that should come out of our mouth are words of wisdom that come from God. Then in Proverbs 18:4, it says, the words of a wise man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Shallow. The world is shallow. No depth to it. If you're in a ship or a boat, you don't want to be in shallow water because it's dangerous. You can be destroyed or it can hinder your progress. So deep water, the deep things of God, the deep water helps us to get through and avoid obstacles and those things in life that we're to avoid. And so it should be as deep waters, not shallow, as the world would demonstrate through what it says. Then in Proverbs 12:18, it says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. We all like to be healthy. And it says here that the tongue of a wise is health. It benefits. It's like an ointment. And he also says that the one, the other person, the foolish person, speaks like a piercing of a sword. I thought about a surgeon. A surgeon uses a knife to do good with it. He cuts you, but it's for your benefit. You will heal. If you have a problem, you have appendicitis, whatever it is, you go in, you operate on, he's going to use a knife for your good. But another person may use a knife to kill you with it. So he says here that he uses that comparison. The tongue of the wise is health. It's for our benefit. We're gonna get old. It's gonna help us. We're gonna be healthy and sound. And that's the kind of words that we need to use. Those that give life, that help, and help people who are been injured or whatever. But we have the ointment, the word of God. What we say can help heal that person, or it can destroy them or hurt them. And in Proverbs 15:4, it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A tree of life. It says earlier it was a well of life. Now it's a tree of life. Tree gives refreshment, gives fruit. It's helpful. Especially if it's on a sunny day, the shade is refreshing. And the words that we say should be refreshing, should be fruitful, should produce fruit, just as a tree would. So we use tree of life as encouragement, and it uplifts people with those words. Then in the last one, in Proverbs 18:21, says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You and I, what we say, what we tell people, determines if they have life or death. The gospel. We're a witness for Jesus Christ. So the power of our tongue in witnessing for the Lord either gives life or death. A person can reject it. So it's important that with our lips, we're proclaiming the gospel. With our life, we're living the gospel, so that when we speak, we know that what we say is very important. It's going to affect people's lives for destruction or for life. So those are just some of the points of the type of speech we should desire. It's to the benefit of others, to benefit us, and to the Lord. And it builds up and encourages. Then the second one is, we kind of mentioned on the other, is that we ought to speak the truth. And Ephesians, I've used this a lot, and it's one of my favorite verses, Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto all things which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Now, it doesn't just say truth, speaking the truth, but you have to see those words in love. If I speak the truth to someone, I could go up and tell them, and I probably use this illustration, you could go up and say, you're going to hell, you're this, that, and the other, and just chew them out, and you could be accurate in what you're saying. But our purpose in speech, when we speak in love, it's so that we cause the person to think. That evokes thinking, and then the thinking invokes conviction. If I speak to you the truth, but not in love, it's most of the time it's going to make people rebel. They're going to rebel. They're not going to like it. But if they know you love them and you're doing it because you love them, you're telling them out of love, they'll respect what you got to say, and they'll think and consider what you're going to say. So how we say it is very important. It has to be in love. Ephesians 4:25 says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. So the truth is important, and it needs to be done in love. Then the next one is, it's the opposite of flattery. We talked about it, being sincerity. Our speech should be sincere. In other words, when we say something, we need to believe it, and we practice it. It's a part of us. If you will, we'll turn to this one if you want to. 1 John 3:18. I'll give you time if you want to turn. If you don't, we'll proceed. 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." We talked about last week, tongue, lips, mouth, all those are interchangeable. But he says, don't just love in word what you say, but put what you say into practice. Do it. It's just empty words. Our mouth can say things, but not really mean them, and don't follow up. And we're giving an example. I think it's in, James chapter 2. He's using it as faith and works, but it applies to us. So it says, if somebody comes to you and they're naked or need food, don't just say, go be fed and go be clothed and do nothing and turn them away. If we have the ability to do it, we're to do it. So we don't just say things if we don't really mean them. So if you say something, follow through and do it. Don't just do it in word. Matthew 15:8 says, "This people draweth nigh with me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." We're going to look at this in a minute, the source. Why? How do we control our tongue? Where's the problem? We're going to look at that in just a minute. But he says here, "They draw near with me with their mouth and with their lips, but their heart's far from me." So it's possible for a person to talk good, talk a good talk, but they really don't walk the walk. So they should match. All right, and the fourth one I have is what we say we should want to please the Lord with what we say. Not just to other person or whatever, but ultimately we're going to answer to God. Because in James he says, those who speak, those who teach are going to be held more responsible than other people because they're handling the Word of God. And every word is going to be accountable. We're going to be accountable. And so we want to please the Lord. Psalm, if you go turn to Psalms chapter 19:14, he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart," so he's saying the words of my mouth, "the thoughts on my heart, be acceptable in thy sight." That's his secret. He's praying it, whatever he says and what he meditates on, it would be acceptable to God. Not just to himself, but to God. Because he's ultimately the one we're going to answer to. He says, "O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So we should pray this prayer, that what we say and what we meditate on will be acceptable to God. Then in 1 Peter 2:21 through 23 gives us an example. He says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." So he's saying here now, Christ is an example who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Deceit or whatever, lying or deceit, was not found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. So his response, he kept his mouth closed at the right time. He spoke when he was supposed to speak and said what he was supposed to say. But notice it says, "but committed himself to him that judges rightly," righteously. Committed himself to him. We're committed to the Lord. Our commitment should be to him. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father, said what was the will of the Father, and spoke the words that the Father gave him, we're to do the same. We're to be careful of what we say, that it pleases the Lord, is acceptable to him, and because we should be committed to him in following his word and being faithful to his word. So now we go through, we looked at what we shouldn't say and what we should say. But we got to realize that the mouth is just a member of the body. It's not able to think or say. It's just a window, you might say, or a servant of the heart. The mouth by itself is not the problem. It's just like when you go to the doctor and you go for an examination. He does an x-ray, sees what real problem is. You go in and you might say, well, I've got a hurt right here somewhere on my body or something. And externally, he might see some things, maybe not. But to really see what the source is of the problem, they'll take an x-ray or do blood work to really analysis of what's wrong with you. And so the mouth is just that servant. Whatever the mind and the heart thinks is going to come out through the mouth. The mouth is an external way of showing what's on the inside. And that's all it is. So we can't control it on our own. We need help. We need a new heart. See, and only Jesus Christ can give us a new heart. And so that's the problem. It even, as a believer, we have to guard our heart as a believer because we can fall back into some of these things that we've talked about. So we have to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we look down and we see what we really are. It's a heart problem and not necessarily the mouth. The mouth is just an external way of demonstrating what's inside. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and 35 says, O generation of vipers or snakes, how can you be evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We've heard this over and over again. It's what's in the heart that's going to come out through the mouth. You can't see a person's heart. But after a while, as he speaks, you can find out where his treasure, what he's really thinking of, what's deep down inside, will come out through the mouth. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. It's like fruit on a tree. It'll eventually come out. What's in the heart, in the mind, will come out through the mouth. And so we said, that's why we have to have a heart change. It's not I'm going to quit doing this, I'm going to stop doing it. Our heart has to be changed because a heart is wicked. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is your treasure? Is it earthly things? Is it physical? Is it material things on this earth? Is that the treasure? And where is it? Is it on this earth or is it in heaven? Where's your treasure? That's what you're going to be talking about. That's what you're going to be thinking about is where your treasure are. Treasure is. It's like if you had money in the bank, you're going to be thinking that bank over here has my money. That's where you're going to be focused on that bank. And it's where we have our treasures, things that we've laid up in heaven, it's where our interest should be. It's where we're going to talk about. Is our goal, is our treasure in heaven, then that's what we're going to come out of our mouth. What's going to come out of the mouth and the others are going to hear. Jeremiah 17:9, we're all familiar with this. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You might say, well, I'm not that bad a person. And I don't lie. Maybe I don't do this. And I thought about Peter. Peter was a good example. He said, I'll follow you no matter what men do, whatever. I'm going to follow you. And the Lord says, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. And Peter denied him three times, not one time, but three times. And so we see Peter's intention was good, but his heart failed. His heart failed him. And so we see that with his mouth, he denied the Lord because his heart had been affected. It's wicked, desperately wicked, and who can know? We can't rely upon the old heart. We have to have a new one. Solution. Psalms 51, verse 10. Psalmist wrote, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." We need a new heart. So he knew who to call for. He didn't try to change his own heart. He said, "God, create in me a clean heart." That's the problem. The source of the problem is the heart. Renew a right spirit within me. My thinking. Help me with my thinking, that it's the kind of thinking I should be. Help me focus on the right things and not the wrong things, because that's, again, goes back to your treasure. Psalm 26, verse 2, he says, "Examine me, O Lord." We need to do that too. Lord, he says, "Examine me." We examine ourselves, and the Lord examines us through the Word of God. As we study the Word of God, he's going to reveal to us problems in our heart and our life. And so we got to be listening. Not only what we say, but we got to listen too. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. So as part of it is listening. He says, "Examine me, Lord, and test me," or prove me. So we need to go through tests. Test doesn't necessarily mean you're trying to get something to fail, but a test is to prove something won't fail, or it's what it's supposed to be. Just as I've mentioned this before, if they do a test on a bridge and they drive a bunch of cars across it, they're not driving across to see if it's going to fall. They're demonstrating it's going to stand. It's what it's supposed to do. And so tests prove what's in our heart. It's just like a test at school proves whether or not you've learned what you're supposed to learn. And so he's saying here, test me, examine me, test me, or prove me. Try my reins, or purge my mind. Clean out my mind. Help me to clean out all the clutter and keep my eyes focused on what's important, and my heart. So he's mind and his heart again. So he's calling on the Lord to create a clean heart in him, to examine him, prove him, and to purge out the old stuff. Psalms 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." So the word of God is very important. The word of God is the tool that God can use, or will use in your life, to create a new heart in you and to change your heart, because that's where the source of the problem is. The mouth is just, like I said, it's a window where you can really see down deep into your heart, because it's through your mouth is what's going to be demonstrated what's in your heart. So I trust that what we've said has been helpful. I know many of the verses I'm sure you already knew, but our speech is very important. But to have the right speech, we have to have a heart created new and to be changed through the Word of God. So I thank you again for being here this morning and for the opportunity to share the Word with you. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to open your word, and we know the responsibility for sharing the word, that we're accountable for the truth of what we say, and that we abide or we obey what we preach. And so we just pray that each one's here this morning, is the word is spoken to them, and that when we leave this place, that what we say we realize is important. It has power. It has life or death. The ability to transform life. We can either injure people, we can destroy people, or we can use it, our words, to heal, to bring life and a well of water to a thirsty, dry land. People who are dead, who need health. They need refreshment. They need life. And so I pray that we would not only speak the truth to them, but it would be done in love, that they might see that we have a sincere desire to see them saved and to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We just pray that we would allow you to change us and to make us into what you want us to be. For it's in the Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.